Is there a new number one prospect in this draft class, or at least a number one edge rusher? What do the teams in the NFL scouting want to see from the wide receivers that may not be about route running? And who has had big time performances to set them apart in this prospect class as rivalry week wraps up? Welcome to Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Locked On NFL Draft. I'm your host, former NFL and NFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And of course, as always, joined with me is my guy, Ryan Tracy. Ryan, how you doing?
Evidently, I'm hunting for wabbits, but it's going to be okay. A lot to find out there. It was a good weekend in college football, and prospects made some differences, right?
I mean, you just talked about hunting, right? Hunting for rabbits, but Aiden Hutchinson was hunting for a rabbit, a.k.a. C.J. Stroud, man, and he really just destroyed that game from the edge rushing position. And as I'm watching it, and obviously, like, we bought into the hype of Aiden Hutchinson. We know Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end from Michigan, and how good he is. And I just had him, you know, or we collectively, between you, myself, and Ryan, Rob Rang, we had him as, you know, going number two overall to the New York Jets. So we're high on him. Mm-hmm. But did this kind of start to make us look at him as maybe a potential number one overall pick? Because, I mean, the domination was just, mm-hmm. You can't even put into words what it looked like, especially while watching him. And again, real quick, for those of you who don't know, Michigan knocked off Ohio State. Ohio State was favored in this game. And I think the only reason why the spread was even as close as it was, which was -7 in favor of Ohio State, was because it was a home game for Michigan. So, you know, if Michigan was not home, if they were at the Buckeye Stadium, I mean, that would have been a double-digit point differential there, or double-digit spread. But Aiden Hutchinson was a big reason why Michigan was able to really dominate that game, especially on that end of the on that side of the ball. Yeah. What kind of were your takeaways from that, watching that performance that he had?
This was the big thing for me. This is the matchup that we always talk about, and I always rely and kind of emphasize the top four positions, the elite four positions on a football field. This was a Heisman hopeful quarterback against a top two pass rusher, number two at the time. And what you saw was that should be a head-to-head matchup, that one side or the other, maybe it's a slugfest, maybe get a slight advantage. This was a huge advantage. This was not just his best performance against a big rival. This was his best performance, Hutchinson, of the season. And I kind of put that in the back of my mind. If I'm a scout, like, I want to see them excel. If you're a prime prospect, I want to see you excel against your best competition. This clearly is. And I think that just puts another little feather in his cap about not just technique, not just how much production you have, but the fact that you rise to the occasion. I think, given what we talked about last week with Thibodeau and our, you know, concerns about not having a fully rounded game. I mean, he led the team, Hutchinson did this week, against 5 stops overall. That's the most. So he's playing the run a little bit better. I mean, is he perfect against the run? No, nobody is. But I think that aspect of it, and being a complete player, I think you can make the argument that maybe he's surpassed there. And I think at the end of the day, it is about rising to the occasion and having that X factor. I think on my board, probably, and around all the draft Twitter universe, we'll see what the teams think. This may have flipped the script on Thibodeau and Hutchinson right now, with Aiden taking the number one spot.
Right now, and I don't want to overreact and say that, you know, Aiden Hutchinson is the same caliber prospect as Nick Bosa, but mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's starting to get closer, right? He's kind of closing that gap. Obviously, I don't think Nick Bosa ever had like a double-digit sack season while at Ohio State, and we see what Aiden Hutchinson doing. I believe that game put him at 13 or mm-hmm. a little bit over 13, had, 3 sacks in that game, got the hat trick there. When you look at that and how he's playing, I almost compare it, again, kind of the Nick Bosa in comparison to a Josh Allen, right? Remember, Josh Allen coming out of Kentucky was more of the, you know, physical freak. You know, he had the athleticism. He had the explosiveness. He was able to really win off of the edge in that way, whereas Nick Bosa, it was just like, he's just really good, right? Like, you know, whether it was his good hands or whatever the case was, you know, good technique, he was maybe more of a finished product coming out, finished product, you know, obviously they always, you're always going to get better as you get to the NFL, but maybe he wasn't too far away from what his ceiling was, but at the end of the day, people knew he was a really good prospect and a terrific edge rusher coming out.
Yeah.
Do we start to view these two guys kind of in that same thing where it's like, man, you get a little bit more of a better overall player from Aiden Hutchinson, and would that potentially put him over the top when it comes to guys' draft boards?
Possibly. And I think when you take a look at it, like I had to go back and find film from 2019 on Hutchinson, right? As I started the season and got into this, because 2020 was so abbreviated for him and the leap forward, because now he's well surpassed. I think he's almost 150% of his total pressures this season than 2019, which is his best season to this point. That step up, continuing to improve at that point, is like a late surge in college, whereas Thibodeau might have had a more gradual improvement. So the question then becomes, like, do you rely more on the senior film? Do you rely more on the steadier prospect? What stands out to you? And I think the jump to the NFL is really what it's going to make the mark there. And right now, I would probably take the guy that's having the stellar season against elite competition.
But that's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on. And speaking of keeping an eye on, we're going to get back to you guys after we come back from break. There's a receiver. He's doing things on both sides of the ball. We want to talk about how that may impact his draft prospect and how the scouts probably see it. So keep it locked right here, Locked On NFL Draft.
All right, y'all. Did this sound familiar? You got an device that lets you catch the game live. You have another one that lets you stream your favorite shows, and you're watching your sports highlights on your phone, all while you've got your neighbors, best friends log in with all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all your entertainment in one spot without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part about it, there is no annual contract. So get rid of all of that clutter, get rid of the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more about DirecTV Stream by going to DirecTV.com. All right, that's DirecTV.com. Compatible with devices required. Content varies by the package.
All right, welcome back to Locked On NFL Draft. And again, we want to thank you guys for making us your first listen of the day. It was a big time game. It wasn't so much a big time matchup heading into it. You had Auburn against Alabama, and I think Alabama was, you know, 20.5 point favorites in that game. So nobody was expecting it to be a game. Obviously, it really kind of came down to the wire. But one guy that Alabama ended up missing down the stretch in that game, Jameson Williams. Now, this is a guy who, you know, I know I'm expecting to potentially be a first-round pick. He's this explosive, fluid guy. I mean, he can catch slants, take it to the house. He can play big at the catch point. He does a lot of things extremely well. He's kind of come out of nowhere. Matter of fact, he's a transfer from Ohio State. And I got to thinking, like, man, Ohio State can't use this guy, but we'll get to them and their receivers and maybe why they didn't need him. But look at Jameson Williams, and you know he's a guy potentially going first round. And there's one thing they did with him that Alabama is kind of known to do with some of their really star receivers, and is use them on special teams, and not just as a return guy, right? I mean, we see that in the NFL. We see that throughout college, where it's like, okay, this is my most dangerous guy. We're going to use him on, you know, as a return guy and maybe flip field position. But they also used him as a gunner, and they did some of this with Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. And now they're doing it with him. So I want to ask you, from a scout's perspective, is there anything that you could take away from that with a receiver that's willing to do the dirty work, like be a gunner, and, you know, not be like, oh, I'm bigger than this?
I take a couple of things away from it. What is your versatility? How, especially when you deal with getting blocked, how do you play through contact? There are some guys that, due to route running or due to the scheme, where they don't have to deal with a lot of contact until later in the route, and, you know, they're drawing penalties off of it or whatever. But that's a different game in the kicking game, right? But it's also, like you said, the dirty work. Are you willing to put in those things that maybe won't get you glory, but will help your team out? That's more of a team aspect to it. And when we talk about how many wide receivers are drafted every single year and how many you need on an NFL roster these days, with the prevalence of spread formations at the very minimum being 11 personnel, right? you got to have more of those bodies and guys that are willing. Just because you're a prime prospect in college doesn't mean you're going to walk in and be the primary receiver on an NFL team. You might have to do some of that work at the next level. If you are a guy that comes in and you compete, but maybe you're the fourth receiver, all of a sudden you do have to play coverage. So I think that helps round out the evaluation for scouts when they're looking at wide receivers at the college level. And the more that you can do is kind of the motto of the NFL. So good for him for doing it.
Yeah, definitely. And I just love the mindset about it. I'm a big mindset person, even in my evaluations. You know, obviously we look at all the, you know, the athletic testing, the production that they've done on the field. But also I want to kind of peek into the mind of this guy and try to figure out who is he from a mindset standpoint. You know, how dirty is he willing to get? You know, is he willing to do, you know, some of the things that other people aren't willing to do? Like, you know, do they go out of their way to maybe seek contact, or do they try to run away from contact? And seeing Jameson Williams and how he got kicked out of the game, I mean, big hit. They hit him for targeting. Mm-hmm. And obviously as a, you know, Alabama, you know, coach or fan, you don't want to see your best receiver get kicked out of a game for targeting. And it's like, man, why is he running down on punts? He doesn't have to do this. Well, he's probably been doing it all year, and it's never been an issue up until it eventually was. But I love the mindset of that. Like, I love just – like that grit, like that grind, that willingness to do whatever is going to be asked of them. And you're right, man. When it comes to, you know, a lot of receivers, sometimes they're not just the guy right away, right? They're not that wide receiver one, wide receiver two. And you hope that Jameson Williams will be that, especially, you know, if he's, you know, potentially a first round pick. But if he's not, let's say he goes, you know, day two, or God forbid, day three, you're going to have to come in and play some special teams. Mm-hmm. And there are some guys that aren't willing. Okay, I'm really tight with my guy, LaVille Hawkins. He played at Cal for a few years. Him, DeSean Jackson, they had one of the best receiving corps in the league. Well, DeSean Jackson ended up getting drafted second round. LaVille got drafted fourth round. LaVille was used to being a guy at Cal. Matter of fact, he led Cal in receiving that last year with DeSean Jackson there. And then all of a sudden he gets to the NFL. He's a fourth round pick. He's not the number one guy. Mm-hmm. He's not the number two or number three guy. He has to step in, and he's like, man, I got to figure out, okay, what's my niche going to be? And it ended up being special teams, and that wasn't something that he was really big on unless he was, you know, returning kicks or punts. But had to really make his way and make the roster being a special teamer and really taking that serious. So when I see a guy like Jameson Williams, again, you don't want to see him get kicked out of a game, especially for targeting. But again, from a scouting perspective, just kind of understanding who the guy is, who the kid is, what his mindset is, that's one thing that stood out to me. And I was like, you know what? That's big time. I like him even more now.
Right, right. And he's kind of ascended, but he's not the only guy that showed some grit and some play-through ability too. This was a game where they got punched in the face. You know, they never expected to have this kind of competition, right? And then you lose the guy who's been your over-the-top explosive threat. And the guy that kind of that's become the afterthought, Mechie was way up at the top of this beginning of the season. And obviously with Williams' play, he's kind of taken a back seat. But when you lose your number one, what happens? Somebody's got to step up, right? And really, what else was that offense? 22 targets in this game for Mechie. 13 receptions. We can talk about that percentage later. But 150 yards, you saw him in the overtimes. Like, he stepped up when needed. So the guy that has been kind of put to the back burner because of Williams' play now says, hey, remember me? I can still put out two. I can take over a game if I have to. So I thought this was a big plus for him as well.
Yeah, and we'll get into Mechie a little bit more as the season goes on. I think he kind of profiles to me as a guy that is more of maybe a slot. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I see him more as kind of that slot guy, but he is a guy who can win vertically as well. And I think, well, you know, come around prospect time, we start to really dive in and see exactly who Mechie is and how does he win consistently and how does that consistent ability translate to the NFL. That's when we'll start to find out a little bit more what he is. But we want to talk a little bit more about some of these other guys, some of these other prospects, some of these other receivers, and a quarterback that's really been kind of consistent throughout this whole time. And we've brought him up, but maybe he deserves a little bit more respect. All right, we're going into that when we get back.
It's here, the best Monday of the year, and that's Cyber Monday. And Built.com is the place for you to aim your mouse. Get at least 20% off of everything delicious and healthy. That's 20% off site-wide, and even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. A brand new Built flavor has landed just in time for Cyber Monday, and that's Caramel Almond Delight. And it is good, I'm telling you guys. I've tried it, and is probably one of my favorite. It might be overtaking the salted caramel one, and it delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate, Chex almonds, Chex delightful, double Chex. I mean, it has everything that you would like in the new flavor. And, you know, before you know it, it's 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, so it still has good stuff. And this season, maybe you're craving white chocolate. For a limited time, get a special new Built Bar Puff flavor, all right, white chocolate cheesecake. And yes, it tastes as good as it sounds. The yummy protein treat is filled with marshmallowy center covered in white chocolate. 140 grams, 17 grams of protein, man. You're still getting that protein that you need. And this is the season to give your taste buds the Built Bar. Trust me, that's what I've been doing over the last few days since receiving these new flavors. All right, now, what are you guys going to do? You're going to go to Built.com for these incredibly tasting new bars and get 20% off of everything. Head to Built.com, enter code LOCKED20. All right, I know we usually say LOCKED15. Enter the code LOCKED20. Do that right now before it's too late. And while you're eating your Built Bar, it's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all throughout the holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive 50% off welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And it's not just football, guys. I mean, it's pro football. But it's also basketball, college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, and your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of these amazing offers available to you throughout the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. All right, so BetOnline, we are stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving.
All right, Ryan, let's talk about it. All right, with Ohio State losing to Michigan, it kind of props up one team. And real quick, before we kind of get into this team that it props up, but Ohio State's receiver, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith, I don't want to butcher his last name, and Chris Olave, those dudes were big time in that game. When you talk about wanting receivers that, like, you know, rise to the occasion, I mean, they rose to the occasion. They rose to whatever pass was thrown to them. They made tough passes. They bailed their quarterback out so many times. I made a comment on Twitter at @Eric_Crocker where I was like, man, these guys, you know, it felt like CJ Stroud sometimes was throwing the ball with his eyes closed and just hoping and praying that his receivers would come down with the ball. More times than not, they did, and they ultimately made it again. So Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jackson Smith, like those guys, man, big time prospects, right? So I wanted to touch on that. But not as important right now with what goes on. So Michigan wins, and we'll see what happens with them. And if they get bumped up, they have one loss on the year. Maybe they get bumped into the top four. Mm-hmm. But Cincinnati, I think though they are the guys that really reap the benefits of this more than maybe anyone. A team that's still undefeated, maybe doesn't have the big wins or the signature wins, but they did beat the Notre Dame team. They have a quarterback, Desmond Ridder, and several other prospects that we'll get into. But kind of right off the bat, like, what are your thoughts on Cincinnati potentially getting in?
You know, this is kind of the turtle the hare argument in reverse that we had about Hutchinson, right? Hutchinson ascending really quickly, right? Whereas Ridder hasn't had that super explosive season. What is he, 27 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, steady, just under 3,000 yards. But when you have your team winning, and especially with all the hubbub about the college playoff, how does that affect prospects? Can you step up? Can you continue to make sure as the pressure builds towards this college playoff that you continue to keep your performance level up? And I think that that's what he's done. I think that keeps him solidly at the top of the list. Does it change whether you feel he's a first-round prospect, you know, versus years past? Maybe not. But I do think that this does say something for the fact that the offense keeps moving, that it is steady, that there is something there that you can rely on. And in a class that maybe doesn't have a whole lot of standouts, reliability of the quarterback position is something I think NFL teams will take as their second bet, that they can feel comfortable with a player that has that kind of profile.
Yeah, we've talked about maybe like what he is. And I mean, he was a guy who I was really high on last year, but it really was more so about like, man, what he potentially can become, because, you know, you see the arm strength and inability there, where it's not the biggest of arm, but it's definitely strong enough. The athletic ability, you know, he's pretty mobile at the quarterback position. I think the accuracy was one thing that people kind of questioned, and it could dip a little bit. And then also the level of competition. So when he did go and play Georgia and they get their butts kicked, and you could see, like, you know, he was just a little hit and miss, and maybe he felt like he just had to win the game for his team and do everything. You know, I think this year it seems like he's not forcing anything or trying to play above anything that his team needs, but he's doing just enough to where it definitely results in wins, in W. So he's likely going to be more of a day two pick unless he just goes out and blows away the process of, you know, scouting, the combine and pro days and things like that. But he does have other pro prospects on his team. And I think when we look at Cincinnati and are they legitimately a team that should be in this college football playoffs and not just be there just to get their butts kicked like they kind of did last year against Georgia, you got some good players there. So you got two corners, Ahmad Sauce Gardner, mm-hmm. and you have Kobe Bryant. And also you got a receiver, Alec Pierce. Big receiver, nice size, wins, almost looks a little like Cooper Kupp. But when you see these guys in the pro prospect, does that make you a little bit more comfortable with them being a playoff team and maybe looking forward to seeing what those guys do under the bright lights?
Absolutely it does, because it gives you a little bit of balance and gives you, again, the support for the quarterback to do his thing. And it's interesting, when you look at this team, not the prolific yardage, not the prolific touchdowns that maybe some of the other teams have, but what is it? There are 9 players on this Cincinnati offense with more than 200 yards receiving, and specifically more than single digit average per reception. So you're getting chunk plays out of all kinds of different levels, tight ends, wide receivers, getting it done in a way that adapts to what the defense is giving. I think that's another big boon for the quarterback, is that can you spread it around, or do you have one large talent that you just have to continue to feed? Pierce is clearly the leader. But the ability to move the ball around for the quarterback is a plus, and all these different guys making chunk plays on average, I think, is a key stat for that offense and will probably lead to a number of other plays being not only draftable, but usable at the NFL level.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, Cincinnati and their pro prospects. Desmond Ridder, he just got the Senior Bowl invite, and he has accepted it. So on top of seeing him on this big stage and potentially playing in the college football playoffs, looks like we'll see him on the big stage in Mobile, Alabama, which I'll be there. Will you be there?
I am planning on it as with this moment, and I hope to spend a little bit of time with Desmond Ridder, because could he become the next Mac Jones? Could he become the next Justin Herbert that needs to go there and show something and really set the evaluations at ease that there's more to the game than just in what his offense has unlocked to this point?
Yeah, and there's several other guys real quick that we'll mention before we get out of here that got their senior invites and accepted them. So we already mentioned Desmond Ridder. Kobe Bryant, we talked about him, the cornerback. I'm excited to see him up close and personal and see what he does and how he, you know, plays out with everybody else. They have a linebacker, Darian Beavers. He's another guy. So, you know, again, these are all you got Brian Cook, who is one of their defensive backs, number 6. He'll be there. He accepted his invite. Alec Pierce, the receiver, we talked about him being an NFL prospect. He accepted his invite. And Majay Sanders. Another one, number 21, he's a defensive lineman. He accepted his Senior Bowl invite. So a lot of Bears that are legit NFL pro prospects that we'll get to see up close and personal and hopefully see how they kind of match up with the elite teams of the NFL, you know, Power 5 schools. So that's going to be awesome to see.
Yeah, for Sanders in particular, he's a guy I want to see him go against the competition at the Senior Bowl, see if he can stand out in any way, get a couple of good reps in there. I think that could help his stock quite a bit. So there's a lot coming on the Senior Bowl. You guys know that we'll have more coverage for you then. We're going to get back into what's the next step for some of these prospects. We'll have more for you tomorrow. Thanks for listening today. Make sure you like, sub over on YouTube, and hit us with those iTunes reviews. We appreciate the feedback and support. You all have a good day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.